This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. I'm Ray Koob.
I'm Marcus in the Darkest.
And as always, this podcast is brought to you by the folks at Crooked Eye Brewing in Hapro, Pennsylvania. They've got the cure for what ails you since 2014.
So, Ray,
want to get caught up on some podcasts?
I think we need to. We've definitely learned a lot since we've recorded some of these episodes. So to go backtrack and touch up on a few things that we may have missed, forgotten, or maybe made incorrectly is kind of nice to do.
Well, the Alice Cooper episode has a few things here.
Mm-hmm.
And first things first, that was episode 32, if you're going back to listen. Alice just announced that members of the original Alice Cooper band, who we discussed in episode 32, who also played on the Breadcrumbs EP, will be performing on his new album. They played a little bit with him on a couple other albums in the last couple of years. It's kind of feeling a little bit like an Alice Cooper band reunion.
I think that's what we're going to get. But over those years, haven't some of the members of the original Alice Cooper band also jumped up on stage with him at various shows?
Yeah, we kind of touched on that in that episode, about how occasionally they played together on stage. It's not like they're not friends, so it's kind of cool that they're doing that and working together, because you never know what could happen.
I think that's really fantastic. The early stuff is quite different than the older stuff, but to hear those guys together 50 plus years later doing what they always loved doing is kind of remarkable, and the fact that they can still do it well.
That's what matters.
Yes, it does.
Also in that episode, we were telling the tale about Alice Cooper meeting Frank Zappa, and we were talking about Frank's label, Straight Records.
What a great name for a label from Frank.
I know, but here's the funny thing. The actual imprint that was Zappa's thing was called Bizarre. And here's how the whole thing went down. Okay, Zappa was on Verve Records, right? And they screwed up and didn't renew their option in time on his contract. So it gave him some leverage. And what he did was he got them to give him his own deal, which was Bizarre Records. Now, you fast forward through to when he's hooking up with Warner Brothers. They can't just stick Frank Zappa and this cast of characters that he's assembled right onto Warner Brothers proper, right? So they came up with the Straight label to be part of it. So it was Bizarre Straight. And that is kind of ironic that it was Straight Records, because you look at all the artists that were on there. Now, the first albums on Bizarre were released in 68, and that was from the Mothers of Invention, of course. I just say the Mothers and assume everybody knows who I'm talking about. We're Only in It for the Money, which was a great record. Lumpy Gravy.
First solo album.
Which is Frank's solo record, right? And Cruising with Reuben and the Jets was on there, but it's just a bizarre concept, and it really is great. And the other thing was, it was Sandy's Album Is Here was the name of the release in 1968 by singer-songwriter Sandra Hurvitz, who later became known as Esra Mohawk.
What?
Our own Esra Mohawk. And there you go. And that's how that whole thing came together.
That whole Straight Records thing is pretty fascinating. And it shows you how smart Frank Zappa was.
Oh,
it shows you
brilliant.
What a grasp on the business end he had. Like his
and
hand,
so diverse in his tastes and thinking. The perfect example was he helped to discover the Persuasions, because his love of doo-wop helped to get the Persuasions a record deal.
That's crazy. And again, his tie with Alice Cooper is absolutely phenomenal. The fact that he signed Alice Cooper band to his label because he didn't get them is brilliant. And the fact that Frank Zappa didn't get it is even more almost mystifying in a way.
Yes, because it seemed like he could conceive and conceptualize just about anything.
And I wonder if he said that. I wonder if he said to Alice, "What the fuck are you guys doing on your sign?"
I don't know. We'll have to ask him.
Or Dweezil. Yeah, Dweezil might know, or Alice might know.
That's right. Well, the other thing we talked about in the Alice Cooper episode was the death of Glenn Buxton, the lead guitar, original lead guitar, back in 1997. And boy, did we really get this one wrong. Just before he turned 50, he died of complications of pneumonia. And apparently he was hanging around with some of his old friends, Michael Bruce and Neil Smith, playing some with Richie Scarlett, who played with Ace Frehley. And they did a performance on a morning radio show, it says here in Houston, in October 97. Performed at a club that night, had some pain, mentioned some pain to people that night. His friends urged him to see a doctor, but he waited till he got home. And then on October 19th, his fiance drove him to the hospital near their home in Iowa, and he passed away from viral pneumonia. And that's what got him.
That's just crazy. I did not realize that pneumonia had that power to it. I know that you can get sick in walking pneumonia and things like that, but I didn't realize.
Viral pneumonia can be really nasty, and apparently he got it and didn't catch it in time, and it shuts down the organs, I think.
Oh.
Well, now we know about that, Marcus. And we can jump back to episode 31. Our buddy Vinny G pointed out something, and I think it was one of us not seeing the year right. He wrote on Twitter, this latest episode of Imbalance Histo, at least he got it right, it's Imbalance Histo on Twitter, is depressingly relevant as we lose the greatest rock stars. That whole year was a shitty overall thing. By the way, I thought I'd address a tiny error. Greg Lake actually died after Keith Emerson on December 7th, 2016, not 15, as we said in the episode. So thanks to Vinny G.
Thank you for correcting that,
Vinny. For correcting us, yeah, on that one. We got a nice review on episode number 27 about Johnny Z. You want to read that from Peter Nervasis from Florida?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for the wonderful interview, Ray and Marcus. Great questions, and it brings back memories of growing up as a metal fan. I saw John at the Venom Inc. show when they were in town. I didn't really chat with him, but I did say hello. He seems like a great guy, and his book sounds like it will be a great read. And yes, his book is a great read, a really fun book. We were lucky this year to get some good books out on rock and roll, Johnny Z's book being one of them. A fun, fun read.
And Peter, by the way, is a Philly guy who grew up on Rockers, my old radio show in Philly.
Cool.
With the metal
did crowd. Not know that.
Yeah. He started the page. There's a Facebook page.
Oh,
for
that
the
page.
Rockers.
Oh, group. The Rockers with Ray Coob?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
His. Okay,
that's, yeah,
good.
He started that. Thanks, Peter. And his life is finally complete because he's living in Florida and they have Wawa there now.
Oh, we got Philly with him all the time.
We were talking about Roger Waters as part of the episode on The Wall, our pocket podcast on The Wall, which has really gotten great response, and we thank you for checking it out. We were talking about Roger and whether he was part of the bombings, whether he was a kid when the bombings were going on during World War II. Waters was born on September 6, 1943. 5 days later, his father volunteered for the Army as a second lieutenant and died at the Battle of Anzio. The Blitz happened in 1940 and 41. So that was before Roger was born, but when he was around as a kid, he saw the bombed out buildings in the neighborhood he grew up in as a result of the bombings. Oh, and another one from the Pink Floyd Wall episode. We mentioned the members of the band that played with Roger at the Wall in Berlin for that concert, and they were called the Bleeding Hearts Band. And I think it was worth mentioning. I think Rick DeFonso would appreciate that.
Absolutely, because we did talk about Rick DeFonso and Cyndi Lauper and the Hooters and so many Philly musicians playing at that Wall concert.
Boy, a lot of connections there. My old friend Pete Fama, who I've known since the days when Prism was the sports station. He worked for Prism back in those days. He posted something along lines that says, "Hey, Ray, I just listened to your podcast about the explosion of punk. That's episode 29, if you're looking for it. You and Marcus did an outstanding job. I really enjoyed the program. You need to do a few more sequels on the punk new wave thing."
He is reading our mind. We're definitely going to jump into that.
I'm glad you mentioned television's debut Marquee Moon. However, you didn't mention The Jam. I saw The Jam perform in 1978 at the Tower Theater. The Jam were great and only a few hundred fans were in attendance. Also, I saw The Runaways with Joan Jett at the Hot Club at 21st and South in 78. I was also attending Temple University during the 70s, and I have a CD dub of Elvis Costello's debut performance at that Hot Club, which was broadcast on WMMR December 77. So, Pete wants more punk, and he's going to get it.
He's definitely going to get it. And we did talk about mentioning The Jam, and we were intending to mention The Jam and the explosion of punk, but being that they were more in the mod scene, and even though it is part of the punk and totally influenced by The Who
and the style
and the sound effects,
we
were going to talk about, believe me, I would love to talk about sound effects and all of that, because they're great records, and influential records as part of my youth. And I know you were a college student, Pete, in the 70s, but I was a young, impressionable preteen and teenager in the 70s. So it's great to, you know, I would have loved to have seen the Jam at a place like the Tower Theater in 1978. You are a lucky, lucky man for having done so.
Remind me to tell you about it after we do the podcast, but somebody gave me a great idea for a follow-up episode to the explosion of punk rock that I'll
We definitely
you.
Need All to right. talk about that. And, Pete, I would love a copy of that Elvis Costello dub.
Yes.
At the Hot Club, because I have not seen one around here. I've got Joe Jackson at the Main Point. I just don't have the Elvis one.
One other episode that's been getting great response, especially in France, apparently, is the two episodes on Robert Johnson and the Progenitors of the Blues. And I really want to thank the guys from the Bucks County Blues Society, Bob Settlin, and my buddy Jeff Simon from the Destroyers for their positive comments about how we did on those. Mm-hmm. They gave us some real... They're the guys that you can trust to tell you if you fucked up or if you got it right. And it was great to hear from them about the Robert Johnson episode. So
no, you're right. And if we fuck up, email us imbalancehistory@gmail.com. You can hit us on our Facebook page. You can throw it on Twitter. We want to know our mistakes so we can correct them. Again, it's a learning process.
It's all part of the podcast here on the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
Well, it's the holidays, Marcus, and nothing says happy holidays like having a beer with a friend like our friends at Crooked Eye Brewery.
We haven't had a holiday pint yet together since we've started the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll, and Crooked Eye is the perfect place to do it.
Right in the heart of Hatboro, you can stop by any night for all the fun that is Crooked Eye and the tasty brews. Well, they're the thing that'll keep you coming back.
They have some damn good beers. We like them, and they keep adding these specialty beers here and there that they spike in with their regulars.
And just in time for the holidays, here's the man himself, Paul Mulheron, with a special holiday greeting.
Merry Christmas from Crooked Eye Brewery. We're happy to have everyone here in the podcast and the support they're giving us. We just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Crooked Eye Brewery.
Serving the cure for what ails you since 2014. When you get a thirst that needs a great brew, make it Crooked Eye.
Right here in the heart of Hatboro, a place to have a beer with friends.
Happy holidays, and don't forget, the next time you need a pint, make it Crooked Eye. You know, Marcus, we're dropping this pocket podcast update into the week between Christmas and New Year's, and we're wrapping up what has been our first year. I mean, we haven't even been doing this for a whole year yet.
No.
But in our first year, we've seen so many neat things happening. We've met so many interesting people, and really seeing, especially since we joined Pantheon, we're seeing so many more people from all over the world checking out the podcast. And Pantheon has so many great podcasts on there.
Like 25 or 30. Now.
Yeah, they keep growing, yeah. And we're just so happy to be part of it. And things that I don't think you and I thought, we didn't really think of like this, I guess. We weren't thinking about how many people will listen. We just figured we'll do it and see what happens. And it's happening because, I mean, we're in the first year that we've been doing this, we're in the top 50 Apple podcasts for music history in America. We've had similar results in places like Great Britain and Canada and Australia. We've had some small countries where we've peaked up into the, you know, the top of their charts, and it's been kind of fun to see stuff like that happening. Even like number 15 in New Zealand for music history all time. So there's so many neat things, but now we're getting all this other information. I think we're pretty excited to see some of the info we're learning about who you guys are and where you are.
That's really fun to see because it's nice to know where people are all over the world listening. And the fact that rock and roll, the big, big family tree that is rock and roll, is something that's connecting us all together.
Well, okay, look at the big cities that listen to us, okay? Philadelphia, where we're located, and we have a lot of our friends and family here. Mm-hmm. New York, which you'd expect. Detroit and L.A. And all these cities seem to be seeing the listening in their areas each month. Salt Lake City, and that could have something to do with Provo.
Provo, Spain?
No, Utah. Chicago, Cleveland, Akron area, the Canton area. We've got a lot of people tuning in there. San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose. And I still think we're just dipping our toe into the water. Places like Dallas and Atlanta are coming around.
That's kind of cool. cool.
And what's really been neat is to see the other countries, don't you think, outside of the U.S.
Did you even think about other countries listening to the podcast when we first started? Because I don't think I really did.
Yeah,
maybe Canada,
really.
Maybe England.
Maybe Canada will get it, or England, because we have
Australia.
Shared rock and roll history. And I even thought that. But France is now our second biggest international territory. U.S., then France.
Would love to hear from
Canada,
our French listeners.
And U.K. and Australia, we thank you. But also now we're seeing some things happening in other countries, Marcus, that's just kind of blowing me away, the way that the podcast is taking off in places like the Netherlands and Colombia,
Italy,
and Spain, Sweden. They're shooting up the punk in Sweden.
Yep, the punk and the metal. They're going to wait
Germany
for
and New
Sweden
Zealand?
Wants us to do black metal or death metal episode.
Well, we're going to do that
eventually.
Yeah. We're going to get there.
We'll do
there,
one
guys.
With Burzum and all those guys.
And there's been some amazing pops, places that weren't listening to the podcast, like India, Mexico, Israel, Taiwan, and the Philippines. And when I looked at the list of the towns, because it breaks it down by towns, not just by the big cities, internationally, Chepstow, which is in near, it's like right on the river between Wales and England, near Cardiff and Bristol, and there's a lot of people there in Chepstow, the Chepstow, I'm not sure how to say it, they'll let us know, hopefully.
Yeah.
But look at the list of towns, man, starting with that list
at
the top.
We're in a Welsh neighborhood right now.
That's
recording.
Right.
We're in Ballachinwood.
That's right. Is that Welsh? That's right. That is a Welsh.
Yeah, Bala was Ballachinwood. Welsh.
Well, now we've got other kinship with Chepstow.
And
up there near Vancouver, Delta, the Delta region of Vancouver is listening. Big time, but suburban Vancouver loves us.
That area is beautiful, too. A lot of water, a lot of green trees.
Now, here's what's funny is you'd expect
Michelle.
That. Big city, it's a huge suburb, right? One of the top towns is the town I live in, Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
That's crazy.
And I know a lot of my friends and family up there are listening, and I thank you all for supporting the podcast, but it's just surprising to see that. And then Provo.
Spain?
No, Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Fresno, which came up in our interview with Chris Schwartz, which is going to air after the new year. Portland.
Oregon or Maine?
Oregon. Dallas and Boardman, Oregon. There's only one Boardman, and it's in Oregon. Mountain View, California. And Bogota, Colombia shows up on the list of cities, towns that are listening to this podcast. And it's just blowing my mind, dude.
I know, it's crazy.
We just get in here and we have fun. We talk about topics that we know about, topics that we've been learning about. We've been doing some neat interviews. And, you know, I really like what we're doing. And I'm glad to see the people are enjoying it. We just did the re-release of our second episode, our first real episode, A Case for the Beatles Redone, Reimagined. And we just did that. We had a little rock and roll Christmas song fun. And coming up on Tuesday, we'll release it on Tuesday on New Year's Eve, the final episode of the year, which is our little New Year's Eve party, which we had at Crooked Eye Brewery in the heart of Hapro, which sponsors this podcast. We thank the
Pauls.
We thank Jeff. We thank the whole crew there for everything you've done. Thanks for letting us have our crazy imbalanced New Year's Eve party at the brewery, and we'll see you all in the new year as well. Well, that's our little latest pocket podcast update here on the imbalanced history of rock and roll. You having fun here, Marcus?
I'm having a great time. It's been a phenomenal first 9-10 months as we wrap up our first year. It's been incredible.
Boldly going where no podcast has gone before. So we do have the New Year's Eve party this week, and then we're going to have an interview with Chris Schwartz from Rough House Records. He's also headed up Rough Nation. He's done some amazing things in this business, and I think you're really going to enjoy that as we start the new year on another little episode or two that takes us into places we haven't explored yet.
Yeah, but we have some doozies planned, including a look at Quadrophenia.
And we've been talking about an episode about Marvin Gaye for a while, so we're going to do that, and we've got stuff figured out for the next few weeks going into the new year, but we're always looking for your feedback. All you got to do if you have an episode idea is to email it to imbalancehistory@gmail.com or post it on the website, imbalancehistory.com. There's a place where you can make comments and stuff there.
We also have it Twitter, Imbalanced Histo. Give us the damn R-Y.
All I want for Christmas Twitter is the goddamn R-Y.
We're going to have to write a song about that. Do a tweet.
We'll get Joe the Butcher to produce it.
Absolutely. Joe would, maybe.
He would.
And then you can also hit us on our Facebook page, The Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. And maybe in 2020, we'll jump up onto Instagram.
We just might have, if we get enough nerve to take pictures regularly.
We're too busy reading and recording.
That's it.
And producing.
And producing this podcast. And we thank you for your support. And we wish you a very happy new year. Enjoy the New Year's Eve party on the 31st. And we'll catch you in the new year. I'm Ray Coob.
I'm Marcus in the Darkest.
And we'll catch you in the new year on the Imbalanced History
of Rock and Roll.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Jabbers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.